All right, Charles, I know you are a big fan of Pete Hegseth.
Yep, one of my favorites.
Yep. And, I mean, there's so much to talk about with this guy. When I think of Pete Hegseth, I think of scary. And when I see what he's doing to the U.S. military...
What in particular do you...
Well, perching it of women, of one thing. Perching it of people who disagree with him.
That's a bigger danger.
Yeah, I know. People who have some sense of restraint when it comes to the use of military force. I mean, I'm not a big fan of the U.S. military. I mean, I don't... I respect the men and women who commit to service of our country. I get that. My dad was very deeply committed to his time as a sergeant in the U.S. Army.
How long was he in the Army?
Oh, I can't remember now, but he moved from that to working on defensive matters in the private sector, and then he ended up with the Department of the Defense. So his whole lifetime.
What did he do for the Department of Defense?
You know, he would never talk about it much, but it had to do with shipping and handling. That was it. Shipping and handling. It was always in quotes. And so we never knew what exactly he was shipping and handling until he got the assignment to find the new masthead for the USS Constitution. That is harder done than it sounds.
Yeah.
They found an amazingly, I think it was a Douglas fir maybe, from the Pacific Northwest. And he oversaw the shipping and handling of that from the Northwest to Boston Harbor and the installation of the new mast on the old vessel. It got quite a bit of press back in the time. But who knows what else he shipped and handled.
Right.
I have no idea.
Sounds more like he's working for the CIA.
Well.
Because they're always working for some sort of trading corporation.
But, you know, I mean, my dad would not function well under a U.S. Department of Defense headed by this guy.
Well, I also, I know it may be hard to believe, but I also spent 23 years in the Air Force.
Yeah.
You know, and as I've said to people who got in my face at demonstrations after that, I earned my right to be out here and I feel like advocating for the other members of the force, because I think what it's pretty clear now is that politicians talk a great game about how they care about the veterans and everything else, and they perform, you know, sort of pro forma talk about, you know, their sacrifice and everything else, but it's all to me performative for the most part. And particularly when it comes from Donald Trump, it's completely performative.
But Donald Trump did everything he could to avoid any.
Well, just beyond that, I mean, he has shown himself to really be dismissive in so many ways.
Well, remember what he said about John McCain. I prefer soldiers who don't get captured.
And this is my question. He says that, and the journalist or supposed journalist who was there didn't say, what does that statement mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean,
Mr. Trump.
And subsequent journalists could have asked that question.
Right.
And they probably would have been told, shut up, quiet, piggy.
Yeah, probably. If they were a woman, obviously.
Yeah, right. Okay.
He would, in terms of male journalists, I mean, they're just stupid.
Yeah.
Or they have some sort of disability that he feigns.
So what about
Hegseth?
Yeah.
Okay. So first of all, Hegseth, talk about performative, is, and again, going back to his books about the warrior, and it's a movie version of the warrior.
Right.
This is his whole fixation on testosterone. You know, we're gonna.
Right, have an actual test to make sure you've got enough.
We just want you healthy.
How does that apply to women entering the military?
Well, given what he wants to do with women entering the military, which is eliminate as many of them as possible, that if they make testosterone above a certain level of requirement, that's going to eliminate a lot of the women who would be eligible to be in the military.
Maybe that's his goal. It sounds like
He's such a retrograde view of the capabilities of women. And, you know, he has this traditional, as we said, a lot of this is informed by, you know, his marriage to the present Mrs. Hegseth. He credits her. One of the reasons why he keeps her so close, evidently, to his work at the Department of Defense is that he credits her with having turned him around.
I mean, he used to be a nice person?
No. You know, and in terms of him abstaining from alcohol and not doing the things that we know that he was accused of doing beforehand.
Party photos proving it.
Well, whatever the issue, yeah. The question of the woman who says that he raped her, and, you know, nobody can say yes or no. Yes, there was a settlement, and but the point is, he has a really retro view of what a warrior is, and that view requires, in his mind, that they be male. And so he's trying to purge the military of as many women, particularly higher up in the command structure, as well as anybody of color in the command structure.
And fat people. Well, I think that's his own term, right?
Yes. But the point is that they're doing it under the ruse of the most ridiculous thing, which is that it's that the military is not a place to experiment with woke, right? And that it's a meritocracy. I mean, his presence as defense secretary tells you
talk about
it's not a meritocracy.
Talk about a DEI appointment.
Has never, ever taken care of an organization this large and complex. It's obvious that he's the wrong person for the job. I mean, the whole thing with running out of the missiles was foreseeable.
You mean in Iran?
Right. And yet, it was a big surprise, as always. It's always a big surprise. Nobody told me. Well, one reason why maybe nobody told him was because he's just like Trump, which is when you put a bunch of your of sycophants around you and get rid of people who might actually disagree with you, the sycophants understand that the only way to convey information to you is to tell you what you want to hear.
Right. Yeah.
Right? And
General Milley, for example.
Well, Milley just disrespected Trump, and he made it obvious. I mean, Milley literally, you know, called up the Chinese and said, ignore everything that's happening here in the turnover, around the turnover of power.
That'll,
in
that
2020.
That went well.
Yeah. You know, and they are, as Paul Krugman wrote about, they're Putinizing our military. Now, the question is,
what does that mean?
Well, that essentially the generals are political commissars. They're not chosen for their capabilities.
Well,
they're chosen for their allegiance
to
the dictator.
The same reason everyone is chosen by Trump, whether it's a primary candidate against a Republican who disagrees with him, whether it's a Supreme Court nominee, whether it's a member of his cabinet. Any position at all, it's got to be unqualified, unquestioning devotion to the leader,
right? And there's two problems: one, that you have to be a person who will tell them what they want to hear, and two, you can't outshine the person who's supposedly higher than you in the hierarchy.
You can't outshine the narcissist in chief,
right? And in that sense, Hegseth is no different.
Only by degree. Yeah,
he's a little bit less narcissistic. Yeah. I mean,
he has to be in order to keep the
position.
For
instance, they let go, Randy George, General Randy George. He was the person within the American military who understood drone warfare the best. Why? Because the Ukrainians taught him about it, right? If we're seeing anything in Iran is spending millions of dollars on missiles that you expend in one fell swoop over a number of weeks versus $25,000 drones is the warfare of the past. The warfare of the future is drones, is cheap, reproducible junk.
Yeah, and I'm going to go a step further and say the warfare of the future is no war.
We can't
keep going down this path of conflict management by shooting each other.
They're going to have to repopulate the earth with a different species before that's going to happen.
You think cockroaches will do less damage?
No. I just think it's going to be very hard to deprogram humans away from war. But
It has to happen.
There certainly
is a strong element within
us.
We
would be better off. But it's going to take a lot of evolution to move away from that.
We better evolve fast.
We need to.
Because right now the weapons of war are beyond imagination. I mean, we haven't even talked about a guy like Hegseth in charge of the America's nuclear deterrent. And I know eventually Trump has his finger on that button. That's even more disturbing. Although I don't know, I'm not sure who's more disturbing in terms when it comes to the threat of nuclear war, Trump or Hegseth, because I think Hegseth actually believes that nuclear war would be a good thing for him because he would be caught up in the rapture. I don't believe Trump has any religious beliefs, so to speak, at all, good or bad. And Trump and Hegseth, it's a demented belief. But my impression is he believes that. So how is it not in his best interest personally to say, hey, what the heck? It's time to nuke somebody, blow it up, and let's get out of here.
There was a discussion within the administration, supposedly, and you know, everything gets leaked from this administration. It's unbelievable.
You think that's intentional?
Oh, of course it's intentional.
Okay.
that there were a number of advisors that were fearful that Trump, with the sycophantic, you know, following of Hegseth, would come to think that perhaps use of some sort of tactical nuclear weapon in Iran would be justifiable.
Putin is he's threatened as much in Ukraine.
Right. Well, you have to understand there's a real similarity more between Putin and Hegseth than Putin and Trump, which is that Putin also is very overtly, you know, warrior, masculine, you know, and he sees himself
rides the as horse a defender. Without a shirt on.
He sees himself as a defender of Western civilization. That's what
Putin does.
Yeah. He advertises himself that he's defending traditional values. You know, it's one reason why Tucker Carlson loves him.
Yeah.
Because he's, you know, Putin is anti-woke, right? You know, he's about he's like the other side. Well, not even the other side. He's the same side as some in the United States are, of like, you know, the Samuel Huntington, view of Clash of Civilizations. Mm. You know, which is, it's the West against Islam.
So what do you do when you've got a Secretary of War, defense, whatever we want to call it, who is basically purging anyone who might present a countervailing viewpoint to aggressive military tactics, whether it be conventional or potentially nuclear? How do we, the people, push back against that momentum?
Well, we don't really have any power to push back against that momentum without...
Can Congress?
Well, the decision to use nuclear weapons isn't going to happen over a time frame where Congress is going to have much say about it.
Right. But could Congress potentially refuse to confirm some of these appointees? Is that all beyond...
Wow, I mean, if they didn't not confirm Hegseth... And remember, he got confirmed by a vote that was tied.
A different Congress.
Yes.
Could they unconfirm him?
Can they unconfirm him? Right. You mean like impeach him?
Yeah.
I just don't think that's likely. I mean,
even under new leadership.
I think that the only way that you could get the change you're asking for, which is having removal of Hegseth, and believe me, I'm sure there are plenty at the Pentagon that would be perfectly happy to see that happen, even with them having removed so many of the higher levels that were telling him no, and he's just not very well respected among the higher ups at the Pentagon, from what we understand.
Right,
because they don't think he knows.
I don't think he respects them. I think he has no respect for anybody except those who basically bow the knee.
I mean, you have to watch the tape of him lecturing these generals.
I did see that.
Yeah,
I watched it a couple times.
I'm thinking these guys are sitting there. Most of them are guys, unfortunately.
And they're sitting there stone faced because
they're having to listen to somebody who was like a major, you know, lecture them about the warrior class, you know, and a lot of what he said clearly fell flat.
It's like having a room full of the best maestros, the best orchestra conductors in the world, sitting there listening to Milli Vanilli
tell you about music. I think one thing that's valid in what you're asking is that there's a huge subculture within our government of end timers. And end timers in the sense that they believe in apostolic and religions in which the rapture is the goal, you know.
Is it huge or is it just influential?
I think it's very substantial. I don't know. It's influential, but
maybe it's J.D. Vance. I don't know.
I don't know that Vance is totally on that. I mean, Vance is in a conservative Catholic.
Now he is.
Yeah. I don't know how much he's waiting for the rapture. I mean, I think Russ Vaught is probably pretty close. I don't know where Stephen Miller gets what his religious beliefs are. The people who go to these prayer meetings that are occurring now as the regular part of working in the federal government, a lot of them, I think, are of the type that believe that the final battle needs to occur. And what they're trying to do is hasten the coming of the kingdom of God now. You know, the seven mountains is to bring the kingdom of God down to earth now and get rid of all of the woke. You know, and oddly, I'm telling you, Putin clearly sees himself and pushes himself as very much in line with a lot of the same things.
Yeah. That's scary.
It is scary.
Yeah. Anyway, I think the only thing we can do right now is just continue to speak up and continue to work to try to get new leadership, you know, in the U.S. Congress, and whether that's new leadership that's Republican and not afraid of Trump, or whether it's new leadership that's Democrat and willing to ask the tough questions and take stands against where this administration is heading. I think that's key.
Well, I think you also have to populate the military with different people.
Well, and we've had that, and now Trump, through Hagstaff, is undoing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.